How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy Trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed?
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. This story is a long one. It takes up the last half of the book of Genesis. And it follows this young man, Joseph, from the time he is a young dreamer, dreaming dreams about his eventual success. He will eventually have his entire family bowing down to him, paying him homage, he tells his father and his mother, and his other brothers as well. And it ends with him, well, kind of having his dreams come true. There he is, from a little boy watching the flocks and too small and insignificant to even hang around with his brothers. He is now the prince of Egypt. He's now second only to Pharaoh himself. He's saving Egypt and all the world from famine. He holds the power of life and death in his hand, and here come his brothers, bowing down before him, just like he had dreamed. That's a fascinating story. That would make a great movie or a great novel, wouldn't it? Certainly it would. But it doesn't end the way that one might expect for it to end. It ends with Joseph forgiving his brothers, which may be the whole point. Pastor Tom Baker is a regular guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
And thank you.
If it didn't end with Joseph actually forgiving his brothers and being reconciled to them, would there really be any point in that long Joseph story?
That question is interesting. What you're really asking, what makes a story in the Bible to have a point? And even if Joseph had not forgiven, guess what? There are plenty of examples in the Bible of people who would not forgive, such as the Pharisees. The unbelieving Pharisees would not forgive the tax collectors, etc. And that still makes a Christian story for a very simple reason. Because there is nothing that happens in the Bible that is not somehow touching the Christian message, because the Christian message is one not just of gospel. So if you're saying, if there's no gospel, well, is that a Christian message? I always like looking at Mark 10, the rich man. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, you can go through that whole conversation Jesus has with him, and not once is the gospel mentioned. And so you could ask, well, what's the point there? If Jesus isn't going to mention to him that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, I forgive sins. Well, the answer is clear, is that the reason people don't receive Jesus is because they don't really think that the law accuses them of the level of sin that they really are. So, had Joseph not forgiven his brothers, I could still see the story in the Bible, because there are many stories like that in the Bible, true events where people don't forgive, but then it's always related to the cross somehow. In this case, we don't really have to worry about that, because Joseph does forgive his brothers in chapter 50. And when he does that, he does it not because perhaps he likes his brothers and wants them to be friends, but because of his view of God.
So talk about that a little bit more, because it's not just because Joseph is a nice guy or he's in a position to be magnanimous with his brothers, which he certainly is. You say it's about faith in God.
Yes. There's two motivations that people have in the world to do good deeds. The one is self-interest, and a lot of people who are, in fact, every unbeliever only does good deeds out of self-interest. What is it in it for me? I may even give money to a hospital or some other charity because it makes me feel good about myself. A Christian does good deeds out of love for God. Now, what do I mean by that? God himself says, you don't love me, and then I begin to love you. No, you love me because I loved you first. And it's similar with forgiveness. When we say in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, a lot of people think that the translation is forgive us our trespasses insofar as we forgive the trespasses of others. That is to say, God won't forgive me until I forgive others. But the fact of the matter is, just like God loved us first and then we love others, so also God forgives us first. And therefore, guess what? We are enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive others. Now, that has a particular view of God, that he is one to trust. And what is the trust? What promise is Joseph believing so that he can forgive his brothers? Well, he says it pretty clearly. When Joseph says to them, do not fear, you know, for am I in the place of God? Now, immediately he brings in God into the equation, into the conversation. And how does he explain that? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And then he gives the example of the good to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today, because he had those dreams and they were able to put a lot of food away for 7 years. So when the drought came, people still had sufficient to eat. All that would not have happened had he not been taken by the Ishmaelites, given to them by the brothers to get rid of him. In fact, the Apostle Paul comes through pretty clear with that in two places. The one place he talks in Romans 12:19 that vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And the other one is Romans 8:28, all things work together to good for those who love him. Those are promises that we might not see the evidence of. I'll tell you an experience I had when I was driving yellow taxi for my years at the seminary to make some part-time money. And one night I was robbed. Now, they took my money and they ran away from the taxi cab. I could have run after them, or I could have chased them with the cab and run over them. But instead, I remember the promise, vengeance is mine. Now, where is God in order to take vengeance? Well, it's called the police, the government, Romans 13. So I immediately drove to the police, reported the crime, and then they took care of the situation. And that's because I had a view of God. In other words, to a degree, one can say, I forgave those people who had robbed me because I refused to take personal vengeance against them. And that really is the essence of forgiveness. So Joseph has a view of God that he is a merciful and forgiving God, not just a God of justice who is going to give people what they deserve.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon. Joseph forgiving his brothers in the final chapters of the book of Genesis. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about, well, before he forgives them, he does put them through the ringer a little bit. He sends them back and forth several times. He wants to know about his father. He wants to know about that youngest brother. He wants the whole family back together, and eventually, because he forgives his brother, all of his brothers, they are. Stay tuned.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? the Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The clcc.org.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey; Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida; St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois; St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California; Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan; the Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California; St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York; Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois; Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado; Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois; and Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, let's talk a little bit about what Joseph puts his brothers through before he reveals himself. And it might appear that he's just messing with them or having fun with them at their expense. But you say he's seeking to get them to recognize their sin and trying to bring them to repentance. Talk about that.
Yes, and it really does work. It's found in chapter 44 of Genesis, where he's returning these brothers of his back to Jacob, and he tells his steward, put sacks of food with them, but put my silver cup in the mouth of the sack of the youngest. And so they don't know this. The brothers don't know he has done this. And they've only gone a short distance from the city, and Joseph tells the steward to go chase after them. And he says, whichever of your servants is found with the sack in it with the cup, it shall die, and we also will be the Lord's servants. And sure enough, they find it in the youngest son. This moves Judah, the oldest, who goes up to Joseph. Oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's ear, and let not your anger burn against your servant, for you are like Pharaoh himself. And he tells him about his father, who will die when they return and find out that the youngest has been kept captive. And he therefore says, and this is true repentance, verse 33, let your servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my Lord, and let the boy go back to his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if my boy is not with me? I fear to see the evil that would find my father. It's at that point, Joseph, it says, cannot control himself. He excludes everybody of the Egyptians from his presence, and then he makes himself known to his brothers. I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? Now, verse 3 of 45, the brothers could not answer, for they were dismayed at his presence. I think that's a poor translation, dismayed. When you look up the word, it also means they were terrified. Well, I would be terrified too, knowing that I had put Joseph in a pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites to carry him to Egypt, and now he is alive. And then he tells them, I am your brother. Do not be distressed or angry. And this is really important. He says it twice in verse 5. For God sent me before you to preserve life. And then verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. That's a promise reverting back to Abraham. And then verse 8. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and ruler over the land of Egypt. And we know that Joseph has in mind the promises to Abraham, because near the end of the book, he wants to be buried also in the promised land of Canaan, which does happen, by the way, when the Israelites leave Egypt going through the Red Sea. So again and again, Joseph is making the point, and this is the point that has got to get across to the Sunday school children, that you may think things are happening to you without any understanding of why they're happening. The program you just had on before me, Pastor Fist, did a wonderful job in showing how people think that their future is controlled by them, whether they do good works or not. Well, here, the brothers did not do good works. They sold Joseph into slavery. And yet, unbeknownst to them, it was part of a plan of God to not only fulfill the promises to Abraham, but also to feed very hungry Egyptians. We need to realize that in our life, nothing happens without God being in control. He doesn't cause evil. But when the evil takes place, he uses it, according to Romans 8:28, so that all things will work together for our good, so that no temptation comes to us beyond what we're able to endure, so that when we call upon him in the day of trouble, he answers us, and the hundreds of other promises. That's what gave Joseph the motivation to be able to forgive his brothers, because he realized how gracious and merciful God was toward him. How could he therefore not be that gracious and merciful? So is this a Christian story? It's obviously a Christian story, because it is faith in the coming of Christ that moved Joseph to have the kind of actions he did.
We think of the alternative. He could have just had the brothers who were responsible put to death, spared Benjamin's life, gone up with his armies and got Dad and brought him back down, and he could have said, look, I did what was just. I paid these guys back. The pain they put me through was deserving of death, and I'm in the position to mete it out. But he knows different, and he acts differently. What does that say to us today?
That says we need to let things go sometimes. Each time I'm criticized by someone, I take it seriously when I truly did do the wrong. But many a times, especially pastors, are criticized for things that they were actually doing the right, and people just don't like the way God speaks anymore in this day, this secular world we live in. That never bothers me, because I know a lot of pastors are concerned about the future, especially in the United States, the way laws are being changed and immorality is growing. But I see it as a real opportunity, because when the church is persecuted, the church grows. And it also gives us the opportunity to share with our people the reason God is allowing these things to happen, to increase their faith in his word, and most importantly, to trust his promises, as did Joseph.
With about 30 seconds here, the basic law and gospel for the kids on Sunday.
The law is, so many people will do something out of self-interest. Joseph may have killed his brothers out of self-interest, or He may have pretended to forgive his brothers just because he didn't want to make his father angry. But when we see his true motivation, this is where the gospel comes in, because the gospel's essence is trust in promises of a merciful and gracious God. And that's what motivated Joseph to forgive his brothers.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, we'll have Pastor Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the temptation of Jesus. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
Growing in Christ is a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House that will focus the children in the Sunday school classroom of all ages on the cross of Jesus Christ, the promise made and kept in his death and resurrection for all sinners. That's why it's called Growing in Christ. Find out more about it by ordering a free sample from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get our weekly update on the November elections with journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway. We'll look forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fikencher, and we'll be talking about Jesus' admonition, do not be anxious. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. Talk with
Listen
you tomorrow.
Listen afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.